We have our second offering happening right now. Missions is an awesome thing. Hey, during the second offering, we're going to take some time. Just want to remind everybody, or let everybody know, I should say. Richard Hardy had surgery on his shoulder on Thursday. Was with them in the hospital, and he's in rehab at Citroen. So let's keep Richard Hardy in prayer, and for complete healing, quick recovery, and pray for Gail, even at this time too, also as he's in rehab. He's doing okay, and it'll take some time for rehab. Also, we're gonna pray for Sandy and Anna. I got a video today of their Sunday morning service in Uganda, and it was awesome. And so let's pray. Let's go to prayer. Let's pray for them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for our time in at this time to be able to lift up Sandy and Anna and the team that are in Uganda. Lord, we ask once again, Lord, for your mercy and your grace, Lord, that for salvations, for healing, Lord, for guidance, for revelation, for wisdom, for protection, as they're there, ministering, Lord, doing what you've called them to do. And also, Lord, we just thank you for your healing touch on Richard. Lord, continue to meet him where he is, Lord, and strengthen his body in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for that at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Keep them in prayer in Uganda, Richard, and anybody else who's maybe has a need. We ask that you keep them in prayer. Hallelujah. It is good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. I love worship. I love our worship teams. They just have a heart to express Jesus from their heart. And I think it's, let's not take it for granted, worship, because there's a lot of places where they don't have worship. And I just want to thank our teams for really taking that time, because it takes a lot of time to put, to hear from God and bring worship together. And I just thank the teams and everyone. It's so good to see everybody. We're speaking on the power of prayer today. The power of prayer. We're going to spend some time at the beginning of the year about prayer. I just feel like we definitely need prayer as a church. We need prayer as individuals. And so there's a lot of places in the Bible where it talks about prayer and different prayers of the Scripture. So in the next couple weeks, we're going to go over some of these. And just there's not just one way to pray, but there's many ways to seek God. And, life can be difficult being a believer in an unbelieving world. Think about that. I mean, just turn the TV on. Just turn the news on. Being a believer in an unbelieving world, see, the world doesn't know Jesus, the world doesn't love Jesus, and the world doesn't understand why Jesus came. But believers, Christians, you and I, understand why he came. He came to forgive us of our sins, to take our sins away, to give us freedom, to be able to enter in a relationship with the Father. He gives us new life, new peace, new joy through the Holy Spirit. We understand that. But man, the world doesn't understand that. The world is always coming against us. Satan is always waging war against us. And so what do you do when you face these obstacles? That's what I want to talk about today. What do you do when you face these obstacles? Because they're there. We sang about it. We can get up here and get all excited about, yeah, and I even said it. Man, I don't feel it sometimes. I don't see it sometimes. And that's okay, because there's a war going on. Now, has Jesus won the war? Yes, he has. Do we still live in this world? Yes, we do. Is the world going to come against us as a believer? Yes, they are. Because scripturally it says that. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. There are going to be wars. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But my God comes to give us life and give it more abundantly. And so the power of prayer. And we're going to go into this. If we want to see God move in our life, it will only come by prayer. That's it. Prayer is a communication to God, talking to God, listening to God, hearing His voice, getting a revelation through the Word of God. But we're only going to make it through life if we come to this place of prayer. This is a church of prayer. We pray on Wednesday nights, and I encourage you more and more from 6:30 to 7:30. Come out with us. We pray. We just get together and pray. I open up with some scriptures. We learn a little bit about what the Word of God is, but we spend time in prayer. I encourage this church, come together 1 hour on a Wednesday. Pray with us. Pray for the church. Pray for the leaders. Pray for our community. Pray for our world. And the only way that we're going to survive is through prayer. So I encourage you. Thursdays, as the ladies have intercessory prayer, I encourage you. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, if you can get up early enough, at 6 to 7, there's prayer here at the church. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. We're going to be a praying church because that's the only way we're going to get through this until Jesus comes back. And so what we are going to read about today in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we are going to read about, it's a story that the Jehoshaphat, this is his prayer, and Judah, this is what they came up against, three nations coming after them. And they literally won the war by prayer alone, without swinging a sword. See, we feel like we got to keep on battling and battling and battling, and we do. We have to get ready. We have to be ready. Be prepared. The Bible says to be prepared. But we're going to go through this prayer. And one thing I want to say before we start, we can be confident in any crisis if our needs and struggles drive us to prayer and faith in a great God. I want you to think about that. We can be confident in any crisis if our needs and our struggles drive us to prayer and faith in what? A great God. He's a great God. Our needs and struggles should not drive us to depression, to anxiety, to be angry with God, but it needs us to drive us to our knees in prayer. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we're going to start off with the first three verses. This is Jehoshaphat's prayer. I'm going to only say that a couple times because it gets kind of a tongue twister. So let's read from the very first verse. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and then some of the Munites came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. I want you to catch this, because this is going to be one of our first points. They came and they sought help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, there's a difference of coming to seek God and then coming to seek the Lord. And so our first point here in this prayer, as you see this prayer, is that, first of all, recognizing a great God. A great God. Do we recognize a great God? See, the king could have said, went to a human mindset and said, let's mobilize the armies. Come on, let's get all the generals. Let's come together. Let's get the army together. Let's be prepared. Or he could have become angry at God when this was happening. But what did he do first? First thing he did is he went to prayer and fasting. Prayer was the strongest weapon for him. That's the first thing he did. And so he resisted the temptation to panic. He resisted the temptation to trust in his army. He resisted the temptation to get angry at God. He prayed. Think about that. How many times have we got angry at God? We don't see it happening, just like we're saying, I don't see it. I don't feel it. Or we panic, or we get depressed, or we get anxiety, or we refill our prescription on anti-anxiety drugs, which I'm not saying anything against that. But what is the first thing that we need to be thinking about? He resisted the temptation just to go into the human side of us and say, I need to do this. He went to prayer. Recognizing our great God, that's what he says. The people not only sought help from God, that's what the verse says, but they sought God. See, Jehoshaphat set his face to seek God. Do we set our face to seek God? See, can you put up, this is the meaning of seek. To trample underfoot, to beat a path to God, because you frequent that way so often. Wow. That's what the word seek means in the Greek, or in the Hebrew. How many of our times on our knees is because we're trampling underfoot to beat a path to God because you frequent that way so often? That's what Jehoshaphat was doing. That's what the nation was doing. It wasn't just, okay, I got a struggle going on in my life. I'm going to pray before dinner. You know, we do that sometimes. God bless us food and bless my job and bless my children and thank you, Lord, and you're my way maker and thank you for this food. I don't think that's really beating a path to Jesus. But that's what that word seek means. Are we beating a path? Is that path so trodden on that it is so well established that we know the path? We've kept on walking on that path. See, we miss something crucial. And, you know, as I was reading this, you know, I look at my life, because I was brought up in the church, and I look at my life, and there's a lot of things here that I missed out when I was younger. That's why I'm so adamant about helping us as a church see these things, so that you don't have to waste time going through those other things that I went through, missing the crucial things. In a crisis, we aren't supposed to run and get God off the shelf to get what we want until the next crisis. Okay, God, thank you. Putting you back on the shelf. He's not a genie that we take off the shelf, rub it a few times, make a couple wishes, and then put him back. In crisis, I had to learn throughout my life that the crisis was not the problem. My beaten path to Jesus was the problem. That I didn't make a path strong enough, trod it down enough, frequent enough to get to know who Jesus is. We've taken the crisis and we looked at the crisis and the struggle of our life and we say, wow, wow, what am I going to do with this? Trials should cause us to seek God Himself because He Himself is what we need. I don't need the crisis just fixed because another crisis is going to come, another struggle is going to come, but the trial should cause us to seek God Himself. Are you seeking God Himself in a crisis? God, I need to know who You are. Because even when You fix this, there's going to be another situation. I'm not going to put you on the shelf and wait till that situation comes, take you back off the shelf, and just use you as a parachute jumping out of a plane or a spare tire when something breaks. Come on, Jesus can't be that. Jesus can't be that. Trials should cause us to seek God Himself. Do we seek God Himself? How much time do we spend in prayer just acknowledging who God is? You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. Or do we say, God, fix my problem, God, fix my problem, God, fix my problem? Because what you're saying is, you don't know if He can fix it or not. But as all I want to know who Jesus is and who my Father is and how the Holy Spirit speaks to me, my crisis and my struggle kind of take second seat to Jesus. And so that's what I want to encourage us. Verse 6, and he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. See, what he says is, the God of our fathers, Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham and Moses, you took care of them. He's saying, you're the God of our fathers. Do we go to God and say, God, you're the God of our fathers. You took care of my past. You took care of me all these years. You're the God in the heavens, God of holiness. He's pure. He's without sin. He's righteous. When we go to prayer, are we looking at God and going, hey, God, you know, this is who you are. I'm not really worried about my struggle right now. I'm just acknowledging who you are, God. God, you're above all things, he says. You're the ruler of all nations. See, that's totally different going, God, fix my problem, fix my problem, fix my problem. God wants an intimate relationship with us. Our prayers have to change a little bit. God, all-powerful and mighty, he says, no one can stand against you. Man, have you ever thought about going to God with those kind of prayers? Just like acknowledging who God is and who God is in your life. Isaiah 54, 17 says, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication for me declares. Come on, church. No weapon. No weapon. That's what we're going to Jesus with. Hey, Jesus, the Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Why? Because you are the God of the heavens. You are the God above all things, and you are the God that's powerful and mighty. Hallelujah. Come on, I got to get an amen here somewhere. Come on. We're going to talk about prayer, and we're all going through struggles in life. This is going to help us. It is his hand that woke you up this morning. It is his hand, the reason why you're sitting here this morning. It's Jesus. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's his hand is why you're here. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. So when we go to prayer, the first thing we need to do is say, do we recognize who God is? It's his hand is why you're here this morning. Number two, this is his prayer. He remembers, remember God's history. I was like, what are you saying about that? Remember God's history. Verse 7, this is what he says. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Did you not, our God? God has history. It is him. It is God. We need to stop thinking about our present circumstances. Okay? I'm not saying deny them. I never preach, deny you have a cold. Deny you don't have struggles. Deny that your arm is broken. I don't say that. Bible doesn't say deny, but we have to refocus. But my God heals. I always say that. I just said this recently to a group, that the fact is the doctor says something, but the truth is this. So what are we going to focus on? The struggle? Or are we going to focus on who Jesus is and what he's done? That's what I'm saying. Let's remember God's history. And that's what he was saying. Didn't you not do all these things? God chose Abraham, and he promised he would be a great nation. God raised up Moses, and he delivered his people out from slavery. He parted the Red Sea. He destroyed the Egyptians. He raised up Joshua to conquer and inhabit the promised land that he promised. God has history. God has history. You have history with God. And so what Jehoshaphat was doing is saying, God, I'm reminding you, I'm reminding myself, did you not do all these things? Everyone has a testimony. That's why you're here. Every one of you have a testimony, right? Or else you wouldn't be here. Who would come to church if you didn't have a testimony? I don't care if it's your first time here. You have a testimony. You're still here because God wants you here. He's put his hand upon you this morning. He woke you up this morning. He's brought you here this morning. Every one of us have a testimony. That means we have a history. me that mic. I'm going to do something. All of us have a testimony. Actually, you could do this. Who has a quick testimony, like two or three words or less? Quickly. Why are you here? Come on. I've got a church full of people. My testimony is I'm here because God loves me. Come on, someone's got a testimony. Doesn't have to be long. This isn't planned. Doesn't have to be long. It could be one word.
The forgiver.
Huh?
The forgiver.
He's a forgiver. That's why she's here. That's her testimony. Come on, anybody else? What has God done for you?
He'd let me know that something would happen to me, but it will be all right, and it has been all right.
There it is.
He healed me when it looked hopeless.
We all have a testimony. Come on. Anybody else? I don't want to leave anybody out.
Once God saved me from heart pneumonia. Thanks God.
Amen. Amen. Testimony, testimony. Well, the little baby's got one. She's raising her hand. Hey, Jehoshaphat, what did he do? He remembered God. God has history. God has history. I know there's more testimonies. I know there's more testimonies. If I called you a week before, you'd come up with one. I know you would. But I want you to see the power of prayer. God has history. We need to remember that. He has brought you out to bring you in. He's healed our bodies. He's given us promotions. He's closed some doors and he's opened other doors. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." He's rewarding you. He's rewarding you. Once we believe that he exists, he rewards those who seek him, who trample down on that ground frequently to meet him on our knees, wherever it may be, praying, crying out to God, thanking God, letting him know who we are, letting him know our struggles, letting him know what a great God he is. He is the rewarder. I want you to always remember, God has history. That's why this church is here. I've said it 100 times in the last going on 5 years. This April will be 5 years that my wife and I have been here. Thank God. What an awesome church. Thank God for him revealing to us that to come to Calvary. Thank God for you accepting us. 5 years. And I've said it all the time that this is an awesome church. It's a praying church. It's a church that seeks God. That's why we pray. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has kept these doors open. He has history. He has history. You're here because he has history. And the church is going to grow and grow, and God is going to do much more, many more things in this season coming up. Why? Because God has not taken his hand off this church. He's made a promise to this church. He's made a promise to you. He's made a promise to your families. He's made a promise to your children. He's made a promise to our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. He has a history. He has history. And we have a testimony. Number three, we need to realize that God hears. Because in verse 9, he says, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you. Oh, I love that. I love that. We're going to go through things in life. We're going to go through things in life. But Calvary Gospel, we're going to come to the sanctuary. We're going to come to our home. And we're going to stand together, unified, united. And no matter what happens, for your name is in this house. Your name is in Calvary Gospel. It's been since the day it established. And it's his name is not going to go away. I don't care who comes and goes, but Jesus' name is not going to go away. Not because I said it, because Jesus can't take his name off this church. Because he created this church. He built this church. He's building you. He's creating you. He's stretching you. He's molding you. He's mending you. He's bending you. Oh, come on. Come on. He's not going to take his name off this church. And cry out to you in our affliction. We are going to go through some things. But that's okay. My God is a big God. And if we stand united together as a church and let some of the bad history or the offenses or it didn't go my way or, you know, they did this or they did that or whatever it may be, if we can come together and stay united together, and you will hear and save. Jesus hears. Our Father hears. See, the devil will tell you he doesn't hear you. He'll throw everything at you. You're no good. You're not worthy. Look what you've done. I've heard all the stories. He doesn't hear that. He doesn't hear you. But Psalms 34:17 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. When the righteous calls for help, he delivers them out of their troubles. When the righteous calls for help. Who's the righteous? The believer. Oleg, he's the only one. Who's the righteous in the Bible? Come on. If you're here and you have Christ living inside of you, you're the righteous, it says. So he gets to hear every one of your cries. And he will. He hears. And I like what the Bible says. We don't go to God on the basis of our righteousness. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. But we go on the basis of Jesus' righteousness. He is in right standing with his Father. He is perfect. He is sinless. He is God. And we get to, and he, when he resides in us through receiving Christ, the Holy Spirit resides in us. We are the righteousness of God, it says. We get to come. The righteous cry for help. The Lord hears and delivers out of all their troubles. Psalm 34:22. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. See, the devil wants to tell you, you're no good, you're not worthy. He's always trying to condemn you. That's not of God. God would never condemn you. The Bible even says that. I've come for the lost. I come to save, not condemn. And I like Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's not a God that doesn't hear me. My God would never say, hey, you get to come to the throne boldly. You get to come to the throne with confidence. You need to come draw near to the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace when you need it. God hears. That's a lie from the pit of hell that the enemy would tell you that God doesn't hear you. Don't buy that. Don't accept that. That's not the scriptures. Hallelujah. This is getting good. This is getting good. Hang on to your seat. What's it Ben always tells me? We're going, buckle up. This is what Ben tells me. We have meetings. He goes, buckle up. Come on, Calvary. Buckle up because we're going for a ride with Jesus. And it is going to be an awesome, awesome ride. Number four, talk about the power of prayer. We're going to recognize God, number one. Number two, we're going to remember God has history. You have a testimony. Number three, realize God hears. And four, this is it, man. Ooh. This is where they say the rubber hits the road. Those are all great things. You know, we can get all excited. I mean, I can even get excited about Jesus. You know, this is how great God is. I'm coming up this morning, have the radio on, listening to the worship music, and Waymaker comes on. Go get him, Gail. Waymaker comes on. I go to my wife. I don't know if did I say this to you. I said, I would love to have the worship team do that today. And I said, they probably don't know about it. Well, they don't know about it because I never said anything. But I said, when I come in to the office, I'm going to get the lyrics out and I'm going to read the lyrics at the end of my point here. I come in the church, and they're practicing that. Waymaker. I mean, I don't have to call Mark or Sister Debbie or Dina. Hey, Dina, you know, I'm going to be doing, I can, there's nothing wrong with that. I just like going, hey, God, you can go speak to Dina. You can go speak to Mark. Dina listens. Mark listens. The teams listen. I love how God orchestrates this together. And so I come in there and they're playing that. And I said, oh, man, God, you are so good. So reflect godly humility. This is the tough one. Verses 12, I'm just going to highlight some of these. So let's go bring verse 12 up. Verse 12 says, I'm not going to read them all because we're going to go to 16, 15. But in that verse 12, it says, we do not know what to do, he says, but our eyes are on you. But our eyes are on you. That's humility. When we don't know what to do, our eyes are on you, Jesus. And then verse 14, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. And then in verse 15, this is what he says, the prophet. Listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you. This is what I want you to hear. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Wow. How many times have we taken on a battle that's not ours? It's God's. But this is what I want you to see. The king had to humble himself. See, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, he says. That's humility. And here is the other part of it. The prophet comes in. God spoke to the prophet, and he gives them a word. Now, if the king was really proud, he could have said, I'm the king. I only hear from God. I'm the king. Wait a minute. I called this prayer meeting back in verse 3. We're going to fast and pray. But God spoke to the prophet, and he speaks to them. That's humility. When you can lay your life down, come to the altar in humbleness, in humility, and say, God, I need you. I need you. I need you. There's none like you. I can't do it without you. How many of us go to Jesus in humility? We have to. And then the last one is praise. He rendered praise. These last two are so important. Humility and praise. Verse 19 says, and the Levites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They didn't see any results. They didn't even get to battle yet. And then verse 21, and when they had counseled with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army. Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Before they saw any victory, they started to praise and worship God. Church, we have to do that. Humility. I want the worship team to come back up here. Come on, come on up. We're gonna close with Waymaker. And I've been praying about this, you know, as getting this word. I'm going to open up the altars as they sing this, because I really feel like God wants us to lay down all our offenses, all our hurts, everything that has been bothering us, bogging us down. He wants us to lay them down in humility. And that's the only way you're going to be able to do that, in humility. This altar should be filled. We should start thanking God before we even see the answer to our prayer. See, as a believer, true character is revealed when he faces problems. That's true character. That's who we are. If you're a believer, it's revealed. Do we panic? Do we complain? Do we get angry with God? Do we doubt? Who is God to you? Who is God to you? These altars are going to be open, and I'm encouraging this church. Let us all stand. Let us all stand. I'm encouraging this church. Who is God to you? Is he big or is he small? Is he powerful? Is he weak? Does he love you always, or is he looking to strike you down? How do you perceive God? Do you praise and give thanks to God before the outcome? Before the outcome. That's what we're going to do this morning. I'm encouraging every one of us, as many that will come to the altar and say, I want to praise your name. I want to come in humility. I want to lay my struggles down. I'm not even going to pray for you. This isn't about me praying for you or anybody else praying for you. Maybe someone will come up and pray for you, and that's fine. But God is saying, if you want the power of prayer, there's certain things that we have to do. And one of them is coming to Jesus in humility and saying, God, I'm going to give you 5 minutes of my time. I'm hoping you give more, but I'm going to come and I'm going to lay it all down in a humility and saying, you are my God. Who is God to you? Do we praise him and give him thanks before the outcome, before we go into the battle? How we perceive God affects how we respond to God. How you perceive him affects how you will respond to him. If you perceive him as he's a great God, he has history, he does hear my voice, he does heal my body, he does give me a way out of every situation. If he's that God, and he's the God of heavens, the God of creation, and he's the God of every circumstance in your life, then you will come to the altar. I don't want you to think I'm begging you. This is time, power of prayer. You can come right now. You don't have to wait till I'm finished. We need, in humility, to lay it down and say, the hurts are over, the struggles are over, it's your battle, I'm giving it to you. Come on, church. You want God? God has already done great things for us. He's delivered us from the enemy called sin. He's redeemed you by his Son. The cross is the absolute guarantee of God's commitment to you. I'm going to repeat that. The cross is the absolute guarantee of God's commitment to you. You can never be forsaken, and you can never be forgotten by God. Never. Never. I just encourage you. This is your time with God. You're going to lay it down at the altar. You're going to say, I don't care about what's happened. My history isn't important. It's God's history that's important. And he has done great things. That's why I'm standing here. He has redeemed me. He has forgiven me. He has prospered me spiritually. He has healed me emotionally. He has healed me physically. He has done it all. Why? Because he's a great God. And I know my God. I perceive him as my God, my great God. We need to trust God because he's holy. He is our King. He is powerful. And most important, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. As we sing this, I want you to spend some time. You're here because you've humbled yourself and said, I need you, Jesus, because you're all those things. Come on, worship team, just sing it. Just take some time, and then we're going to close, but we're going to take some time. Come on, I encourage everyone to come down. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. This is about you and God. is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise. Leave it at the altar. Leave it at the altar. Because he's a great God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cry out to God. Let him know how you feel. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. God has done history in your life. You have a testimony. Come on, church. You have a testimony. He's been your waymaker. He's been your healer. He's been your deliverer. That's why you're here. He's never forgot about you. He never will. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing it out together. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Hallelujah, Lord. That's your testimony. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Thy God, that is who you are. Come on, call out to him. If you need healing in your body, call out to him. You need emotional strength, call out to him. You need something done in your life, call out to him. Let him know. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, come on. I'm going to read something. I'm going to read something. As you're just stay steady. Don't move. Even if you're standing in the back, still have time to come forward. Just let it go. Let it lay it down. But I'm going to read a verse. We talked about all this, and then we're going to go back into Waymaker. Verse 22 says, and then when they began to sing and praise, and when they began to sing and praise, that's what we're doing, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. They literally, the Bible says, killed each other. When they started singing and praising unto God, that's what we're doing. Come on, that's scripture. God said, this isn't your battle. Stop, it's not your battle. Your sickness is not your battle. Your struggle with your marriage, finances, job, children, no matter what it is, it's not your battle. It's my battle. Will you praise? Will you worship? Will you thank God? And do that right now. We're going to praise and we're going to cry out to God and say, and we're going to end this service with a cry of victory and worship, because that's when God came in and set the ambush. Let's sing. Let's worship. Come on. Waymaker, he's our miracle worker. Come on. He set the ambush when they started praising and worshiping God. That's what we're doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. One more time and then we're going to close. One more time and we're going to close. Waymaker. We're going to cry out to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, that we could come humbly with humility before you. Lord, that we learn to praise you and thank you before we even see victory. Because we don't have to see victory. We know that you are already victorious. But you're asking us to come humbly before you to know more about you. This is about you. This is about you. This season at Calvary Gospel, the Lord is saying, this season at Calvary Gospel in this church is all about me and you, individually meeting Jesus. And you are going to see a transformation in this church. God says, don't come because of the crisis. Come because you want to know more about me. Lord, help us to understand that. Nothing wrong with coming in a crisis. That's why that the Bible tells us to. But I'm not looking for that crisis to go away this second. In that time when we come to you, Jesus, and say, Lord, we're struggling with something. I'm struggling with something. God said, that's okay. I know the struggle. But I want you to beat a path to me and get to know who I am. For this year, for this season, God's saying, will you get to know who I am? Just don't take me off the shelf and want a miracle. But keep me off the shelf. Keep me off the shelf. That's what he wants to do for us this year. Keep him off the shelf. Carry him with you every single step of the way. Get to know me more. This year is about a relationship with God. And you will see miracles. You will see things happen. You will get insight. You will get revelation. You will be getting visions and dreams that God will give you as you beat the path to God. And then a lot of these things that are struggling with, they're going to go away because you're spending more time and your main concern is Jesus. Because he's going to take care of it. He will. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this beautiful church that you're creating. Thank you for our worshipers. Thank you for our prayer intercessors. Thank you for everyone a part of this church. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, church. Take this word. Just let it, meditate on it. Think about it. Have fellowship. Come on downstairs. Meet someone. Greet someone you haven't met before.